What does GPL-3 mean for us?
The reason for revising the GNU General Public License is mainly to protect users from new methods of trying to take away their freedom. The overall purpose of the GNU GPL, what distinguishes the GNU GPL from other free software licenses, is that it's designed to defend freedom for all users. Most of all free software licenses have to recognize freedom, but many free software licenses allow middlemen to take away the freedom from the software before the software reaches you. The GNU GPL was designed to make sure that can't happen, to make sure that every user who gets the software gets the freedom. When I wrote version 1 of the GPL, I knew of two things that middlemen might do to take away the freedom. One was, don't release the source code. The other was, add other license restrictions. So GPL version 1 said you have to release the source code and you can't add other license restrictions. For GPL version 2, I blocked another possible attack on your freedom, which was using patents. In GPL version 3, we aimed to block two other ways of denying the users the essential freedoms. One method is called TiVoization, after the product in which I first heard about it. And that is making a machine which contains a binary of a free program and which refuses to run modified versions, so that nominally people have the freedom to change the source code and install their changed versions. The machine just won't run anymore if they do. So GPL version 3 does not allow TiVoization. It says if they distribute these binaries, they have to provide you with what it takes to install your modified version and make it run in your machine. The other new attack that we found out about is the one in the Novell Microsoft deal. That's a deal where a distributor colludes with a patent holder, and the distributor pays the patent holder for distributing copies. And the customers of that distributor get a limited patent license from the patent holder. So this is a way that patent holders can try to use those patents to make the software effectively proprietary, because the patent license doesn't allow them to redistribute the way the GPL says they're supposed to be able to. So we're blocking that as well. To see the details, look at gplv3.fsf.org. You can see the text, you can see the explanations of all the changes we've made. There are other improvements in GPL version 3. For instance, it is designed to have to be more internationally uniform. We have avoided using certain terminology, such as the word distribute, whose meaning varies more between countries. And so we've found other words to use that don't vary between countries, so that the requirements of the GPL will be as close as possible to the same everywhere. And we have things to negate various unjust laws, such as the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and the EU Copyright Directive, so that GPL-covered software will not be able to be used as the excuse to forbid somebody else from distributing software that does a related job. And the conditions of the procedure for terminating the license has changed. With GPL version 2, if you ever violate the license, your license has been terminated automatically, and you at that point have to ask for forgiveness from all the copyright holders, who might be thousands. With GPL version 3, only the ones who send you notice have a valid objection. Now, any of them could send you notice, but suppose you correct the problem and then most of them don't bother to complain. Then you only have to ask for forgiveness from the ones who actually did tell you they objected.
So it will be easier for the guys who
make a mistake, yes, and want to correct it.
Exactly. That would be nice. And it's due this summer, right?
The yes.
Version 3.
The plan is 60 days of comment period starting with last Wednesday, then another draft, and then 30 more days for commenting on that.
That's exciting. The Free Software Foundation has always been fighting for the freedom of developers and users. If you look back, how would you say we're doing now? Is your vision of more freedom about to come through with GNU/Linux, KDE, GNOME, Beryl, OpenOffice.org, various other good software programs out there? Where are we?
I can't foretell the future.
Yes.
My crystal ball is cloudy. And the reason I can't foretell the future is it depends on you. We're fighting for freedom. If a lot of people join in, we're more likely to win. If few people join in, we're more likely to lose. So you have to defend your freedom. You can't just leave it up to other people and assume that they will be enough.
I fully agree.
We've made a lot of progress, and we're continuing to make progress, it seems. But we face powerful opposition. And, you know, the U.S. is still trying to persuade other countries to forbid free software to do things like view a DVD. And in all of the European Union, that's forbidden. So how can people have freedom? You're going to have to get rid of those laws. And it turns out there is a way to interpret the EU copyright directive that would allow free software to access a DVD, but none of the countries of Europe have actually implemented it that way.
Denmark had actually got a special rule regarding that copyright protection. If it's against sort of viewing the DVD on a free open source whatever platform, other than Microsoft, the proprietor ones, the ones that have actually signed the special deals with the DVD manufacturers, then it's actually all right for us to circumvent this copyright protection, which is actually nice.
Interesting. Maybe I need to hear more about this.
The problem is, might be that it collides with European law.
I don't know. The EU copyright directive could be interpreted by saying that a free program could be implemented with a law saying that a free program does not violate the law merely by virtue of being free, that if it does the same things as the authorized players, then it's okay.
These open standards, in order to describe that we now would like to mandate that every time you send whatever file to me, the format of what you exchanged to me should be written in a format that is fully and well documented, can be implemented freely, is standardized and maintained within an open forum. That's some of the issues that we
try. I call those free standards, and yes, I think it's very important.
Yes. At least we have actually gone through government with this, and what we won and got all of the parties to actually signing a bill for that in Denmark.
Oh, congratulations.
Last year, and this is being implemented this year. How do you see the struggle for free standards?
Well, it's a vital part of the campaign for free software. When people are communicating using a language that is a proprietary secret, then we can't implement free software to talk that language. So essentially, free software is prohibited by that arrangement. So use of free standards will remove a major obstacle, and it's the right thing to do on general principles anyway, so it's very good.
Freedom is clearly a main theme of both you and my mind. How do you think we best can influence our own situation in this very turbulent IT society this year?
I don't know. I'm not an expert on that, and different countries are different. You're better at figuring out You're a better place to figure out effective tactics than I am. I know something about tactics that have been used for various causes in the U.S., but politics works differently in different countries, and they may not be effective here, or they might, I don't know. But the point is, if you have activists here, they are more likely, such as perhaps you, are more likely to see a good answer to that question than I am. I'm more concerned, therefore, I focus on convincing people to get active rather than on trying to tell them precisely how.
Could you name a few of these areas where you very strongly believe that we should get active these years?
Migrating the schools is very important. The state should migrate the state school system to free software and cease teaching proprietary software. That's very important. That's a responsibility of every government. Migrating government agencies to free software is also important. It's important for several reasons. First of all, because these agencies should have control of their own computing. In fact, they have a responsibility always to maintain the control of their own computing, which they do on behalf of the citizens. They may not legitimately allow the control of their computing to fall into private hands. But using a proprietary program is exactly that. They must never use proprietary software. They must never give a private entity control over the state's computing. But also because it's good for the state to create a market for free software support. When public agencies migrate and thus create this market, that will mean there are support providers, and that means any company or other organization that wants to migrate will find support that's already available and that there are various providers to choose from, so that will make it easy for them. And above all, the government's overall mission is to make sure that society respects the freedom of the citizens and encourages their cooperation. Promoting free software is an obvious part of that. So all parts of the government should be helping to do this at the same time as they do their own specific missions. Another thing we need to do is get active against laws that forbid free software. We get rid of them if they exist and prevent them from being adopted if they're proposed.
We have a lot of struggle about which format to use for documents, like you have the word doc format that has been
that you shouldn't use, obviously.
Yes. And now the next line of that discussion seems to be between the ODF and the OpenXML, the Microsoft
format. Right, you shouldn't use Microsoft's format. Microsoft's format is so complicated that in practice nobody will be able to implement it except Microsoft. And besides, it's patented, at least in some countries, maybe not here. But in many parts of the world, nobody but Microsoft will be allowed to implement it. Or at least not in free software, I should say. Microsoft has made a statement granting a limited patent license whose conditions do not allow free software. So I should say more correctly that free software in many countries will not be allowed to implement Microsoft's format.
So it will be quite exciting the next few years.
Well, you know, fighting for freedom is not something we do for excitement. Freedom is important in its own right.
I fully agree.